Greetings, Game Cola faithful, and welcome to the Game Cola podcast. This is podcast number 176 here to get you your video game podcast fix. I am your host and podcast commander, Joseph Martin, joined by...
I'm Blue Rider, and I'm here to break your fix.
Yeah. I'm James Pelster, and I just can't get enough of this stuff.
I'm John Rizzi, and I'm here to fix your gaming
here
vibes
to say
for the night.
This is whack in a major way.
No.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal, guys. I was at a work party, and someone was like, here, have this can of beverage. And I was like, oh, I will accept this can of beverage, as is social custom in a work environment. Turns out, can of beverage, after I took first sip of can of beverage, the can of beverage was 12.5% alcohol. I've unfortunately already taken the first sip, so what am I going to do? Throw it away?
Yeah,
chug.
Then finish drink, finish beverage, and everyone's like, hey, Wednesday evening would be a great time to do the podcast. By the way, that's today. Here we are on the podcast. So if the energy's a little weird, that's why. I have no plan. I've been trying to do better about like planning at least like the first 20 minutes of the podcast. I have zero plan. So
we
this
do
is going to be
plan,
a very...
Actually. We're going to talk about Alan Wake for the whole time, actually.
We're not going to do that. Yeah. I have the alcohol has given me the confidence to tell you no. No Alan Wake.
But you can't like actually stop.
This is the...
You've got confidence, but you're still a few steps away from, you know.
I have powers you cannot comprehend, Blue. Just because I have not chosen to enforce them. I can delete you from existence in the podcast world, Blue
yeah,
Rider.
Well, I can remove you as a friend, so...
I now want to get to a debate with Drunk Joe.
Yes. Blue Rider versus Joseph Martin, Civil War.
What are we debating, though? Whether or not
debating.
To talk about Alan Wake on the podcast?
Yes.
That's the debate, cast.
That's what this episode is about. We
That's
have to make the decision before we can.
We have to postpone this podcast to go record a Game Cola debate cast
yeah,
to determine
exactly.
what the future recording segment of this podcast will be about.
All right, Blue, why do you think you should be able to talk about Alan Wake on the podcast?
Because the last time we did it, it was the best thing that had ever happened to anyone ever.
Counterpoint. How much Alan Wake video game have you played since that episode of the podcast?
I finished the main game and I started my final draft run.
You're what?
New game plus?
Only true Wake heads will get it.
Well, only true Wake fans can understand book metaphors. Did you know the video game Alan Wake invented books and writing them?
Yeah.
Did you know Alan Wake fans are the only gamers who have read books?
That's so true.
Wow.
You're
yeah,
so
all my
true.
Books are blue and green and orange, but...
Ooh. Uh-huh. I see.
Those video game books, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever
you know
read a video
funny?
Game book?
Yeah,
you
know it's a Mario
Pringles.
Adventure book.
Yeah, I got you on that
Mario
one.
Pringles.
Pringles.
You know
Mario
what's funny?
Adventure.
Real quick, I just need to mention that when you said there are no red books, I looked around my room. I don't actually... there's several books within my line of sight. None of them are red, so this could
be
plausible.
Oh, I've got a red
plausible.
Book.
Oh, you
I was
do?
Just
I have
for
books
the
that I've read, and therefore they are red books.
I have a whole shelf
but are
of
they
red...
video game books?
I have a whole shelf of red books. Oh, no, those are Switch games.
Books. You know, actually, speaking of the Mario Pringles thing, believe it or not, I remember, I don't know if I still have it, but I had something that was similar that was for Super Mario Bros. 2 specifically. Like, it was, it basically had you... It was almost like a choose-your-own-adventure that was
That's
just
copyright.
A walk.
James, you're committing copyright infringement.
Pringle sequel. Pringle
You're creating
sequel.
Copyright infringement, James. That's a copyrighted term.
What is?
Choose your own adventure
is a copyrighted term. Wow.
That is. You have to, it's like How Happy Birthday used to be.
Wow. Well.
Was it How Happy Birthday used to be, or did someone just Sleeper Cell convince everyone? Because that's what I feel like happened. Like, I feel like they never actually had the copyright. They just, like, convinced people that they did.
Well, then they also convinced people that they lost it recently.
Well, I think people found out. I don't think they did it on purpose.
Happy birthday, truthers out there.
Then in that case, it's a decide your own adventure.
Okay, that's legally distinct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Decide an adventure that is not for others.
Or a choose your own path, if you will.
I think you gotta change more than one word is the problem.
Path, your own choice.
Decide thine own journey.
Choose what page to read.
pick a page to read.
Please read this and do the things.
If you get lucky, maybe they'll make sense.
Yep. So, but when I was younger, I had a book that was just basically it ended up it was supposed to be a decide thine own journey book about Super Mario Bros. 2, but it basically was just in written form with some multiple choice that would occasionally just lead to failure or looping back on itself. Just a guide. Really, really brief and abbreviated guide to Super Mario Bros. 2.
But wait, like, it's supposed to help you beat the video game?
I don't know if it was intended to, but I know enough, like, it would talk about Mario, like, you would look around for certain things and you could either go through a door or you could, you know, search in a pile of grass. You search in the pile of grass, you find a potion, you throw it down, and then you jump in the pipe and then it would take you to the warp zone and then you would skip way far ahead in the book. And so that was the kind of thing that they did. So it ended up, and there was one part I specifically remember at the end where it was talking about in one of the final levels of the final world where you had to climb up a whole bunch of chains and carry keys around, and there was a part where you had to climb up basically I think you had to climb up to the top of the screen and then run across just this little open gap at the top of the screen to get from one area to another, and they specifically talked about that. And when I started watching people playing through Super Mario Bros. 2, because I think this was before I actually had really watched people play the game that far, that they were just describing the path through, like, the final level of the game in that part of the book.
Weird.
And, like, so it was just really strange. I wish I still have it somewhere. I think I probably do, but it's buried in some inaccessible corner.
All of that brings me to the question of when are we doing the next game book?
Well, do we have another game book?
Well, if I can find mine, maybe we can do that.
Paul Heaps played booked with the Lone Wolf series or something. We should ask him about it and if it's
Minecraft story mode.
I know Joe doesn't like me for this, but I am making the case for She-Hulk Goes to Murder World because it is a game book.
What?
And in it, she goes to Murder World, which means the villain is Arcade, who puts her in his game, as he is wont to do. So I think that's close enough that it's video game content
just
inside.
Just because it's not video game? Is that why I'm mad about it?
That's what you said before, so.
I mean, that does sound like me, I'll admit. I don't remember that. But it does sound like something that I would do. I mean, here's the deciding factor. If she dies in the game, does she die for real?
Of course.
It is.
Well, then, okay,
world.
That's fine. I feel like you must not have told me that, because if I had known that, it definitely would have been allowed. Okay. If you die in the game and you die for real, I mean, what more could you want from a video game themed story?
We
should have more games where if you die in the game, you die for real.
Yeah,
I tell you, I watched that movie recently where that tagline came from.
About sword and arts.
You watched Game Cola Podcast episode 60?
No, that was an actual tagline for an actual movie.
Right, the Game Cola Podcast
episode 60. No, 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 no.
That was the movie. I'm excited for Game Cola the movie. When is that in theaters again?
Oh yeah, it was called it was a movie called Stay Alive.
Featuring music by the Bee Gees. Isn't that the one where you had the DVD menu? You had to like dress the characters as the right class as they are in the movie, or else you couldn't watch the movie and you would die.
If you die in the DVD,
it didn't make sense because you hadn't seen the movie.
They have copy protection on the DVD.
It was just watch protection. You had to play a game to watch the movie.
I will say this: the movie has like major Fatal Frame vibes of all things.
Oh, really?
But I will say it's not good at all. But my God, it is a fun watch. It is a
video
fun
game
watch.
Movies
Holy
are
man.
Like I what is I mean like. Movies about video games that aren't based on aren't the new Jumanji movies about a video game?
Yeah, it's a Super Nintendo game or a Super Nintendo looking game, and then they get sucked in, and it's literally like an open world like PS5 game.
Interesting.
It's like, what the heck?
Interesting. I've never watched either of those movies. But
that one
I've
doesn't count. It's not a video
game. Good.
Yeah, they're very fun.
Doesn't count All if it's not a video game.
There's three of them? I thought there were two.
Well there's the original Jumanji and then there's
the two. With Robin Williams. So yeah, no, that one's I've seen that one. Doesn't count. Fair enough.
Have you played the new Jumanji video games based on the new movie?
Yeah, there's like three of those too.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Apparently they're not good.
Wow, that's amazing. So when we have movies about video games, the movies tend to be bad. And when we have video games based on movies about video games, where the movies are good, the video games are bad?
Wait, I thought people liked one of the Jumanji video games. I don't remember which one.
I'm looking it up now.
One of them was not good, but... in August 2022, they revealed that there's developments for a potential sequel to that movie, Stay Alive. Wow.
Oh, God,
I mean,
no.
There have been potential developments for a Mega Man movie for, like, 5 years. Anyone can just, like, you can just say that.
I remember, I feel like so many of the podcasts that I've gone back and listened to, there has been, like, little mumblings about the Mega Man movie.
Where's that at now?
Yeah, you could probably hear me in the background.
It's not. I think it's just in.
No, John, in the background you talk about Hitmonlee. We get it right.
I think they just keep passing it along to script writers to see if anyone can like come up with something.
Can pull anything off.
I think reverse John.
They just look at an image of Mega Man and they're just like, we just can't do it.
Still contend.
What the F is a Sonic?
Mega Man should be a TV show and not like Fully Charged. I mean, like a TV show where they do like actual Mega Man things.
Like Battle Network.
You know, Robot of the Week kind of thing.
Like this.
Was the Battle Network.
So it's like a CW show, like Supernatural.
I don't know if the Battle Network anime was good, like in the original Japanese. The problem, I've said this before, but the problem with the Battle Network English dub is that digital editing had been invented and they had too much power.
What does this button do?
And so they just chopped it up in all these different ways. And they would literally, like, you could tell. Watching the episodes is like, oh, this bit at the end of the episode was definitely from the beginning of the episode, and they put it at the end. Or like, there's one, like, they put the beginning of one episode at the end of another episode. Like, they mixed it all up. It was bad. I just couldn't watch it anymore because it just stopped making sense. The first few episodes that like they kept it self-contained, but as soon as there was like an arc, it just lost it.
It completely just
disintegrated. Like, and like even with Mega Man, right? Like what you need to do, like you do with the Mega Man games, is that like the first episodes you just are introduced and like you can have a loose serialization, but they should be fairly disconnected. And then once you've completed that, then you create a serialized climax to the season that involves sort of like the reproduction of the Wily stages. That's what you got to do. But like just the arc of, I don't have any restraint, so I'm just going to keep going on this. The arc of a Mega Man game.
Go for it.
At the beginning, just doesn't track with the movie. Because it's like if your movie had six acts and then a seventh act. Like,
which is why I say reverse, or like John Wick style. You do, he keeps hunting them down, and then like a few of them gather, and they're like, this isn't what's supposed to happen, and then they try to beat him, but they just can't, because he is John Wick, and also he's getting better, because he's becoming them, but better.
And
that's why I think that's how the movie should go.
I never thought that I would hear John Wick and Mega Man being discussed. It's a good premise
because he just gets stronger.
But does he really absorb his victim's powers?
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. Right, Jerry?
I've that's never seen Mega a John Wick works. Movie. Like you Mega could Man say yes, works. And I would
that's
believe
what James was asking you.
Yeah, no, well, I was. That's what I mean. Is I was saying, yes. Like, does John Wick absorb the power of his victims?
Well, he does like, in this movie because it's the Mega Man movie. That's what
I do.
Saying.
I think that's just the power of being a John in general.
John Wick, but better.
The other thing
is
the thing.
So, John, are you trying to tell us
the
something?
The Mega Man movie.
Yeah.
Is that the director, at least the last time I looked into this, the director was like, oh yeah, I'm going to look at like the dark undertones of what this robot world means. It's like, that's Mega Man X.
Oh, good.
That's a setting designed like, for that. It's make already a good Mega Man movie, which
that's a new contest. It's a new contest.
Level contest.
Here's the,
but
here's
like,
the thing.
Make a good Mega Man movie, and then you get like, I would love Mega Man X. Story, narrative content. It would be very
good.
Awesome. But you have to sell people on Mega Man Classic first because Mega Man X doesn't make any sense unless it's in contrast to Mega Man.
Yeah, because it has. Yeah, unless you like know that this is like a continuation of this thing, and now like, oh, well, now this is like. Because I'm very much not familiar. So it basically, Mega Man X is a continuation like 100 years later where robots like Mega Man have been expanded and improved upon, and now they effectively have complete and total free will, but they have such like immense power because they're robots that they could obviously abuse that.
Well, but they
is
that's
that right.
Like, so you've described the setting in a way that makes sense. And a little bit about Mega Man, a little fun thing about Mega Man X is that that's not how it ends up working. Because the...
Oh. Well, dang.
Because
hire me,
the robots
Capcom.
Are actually the stand-in for the people without social or political... If you're trying to make it an allegory, the robots are not the ones in charge of the people. The people are very much in charge of the robots. So,
right. Ooh, oh, that makes an interesting parallel.
The people writing it, like, had anything beyond, isn't that a thing? It doesn't really go anywhere. They want it to. They desperately want it to go somewhere.
No, because
they don't
look up source material anymore.
No, I'm talking about in the Mega Man X video
games. Because they're artists.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
I'm talking about, like, people actually writing the movie now, because
right.
Like, they're not
so
gonna
be...
they're not gonna look this stuff up because they're artists. They want to write their own stuff.
That's true, but
which is frustrating.
That
also
be,
makes
that
sense.
Could be good because if the source material doesn't really explore that aspect, then theoretically, someone who was so
right.
inclined
and
could
I...
do so. Also, I
yeah.
Ooh, can I Go can ahead. I just sorry? I was gonna say that thing that you're talking about actually. I know it's been a hot minute since I have discussed Xenoblade Chronicles 2, because a big plot point in that game centers on the two different sort of beings. There's humans and humanoid-like characters, and then there are the Blades, who are, in the words of one of the main villains, they are granted phenomenal power from on high, and yet they are... basically ruled over by quote-unquote the regular people, and they, you know, part of the big major conflict is that they are basically treated not usually like slaves, but they are typically subservient by the nature of their existence being that when the person that they bond with dies, they return to their crystal and their entire memory is wiped. And so in that sense, they can't grow as a species. And it's I think that actually bringing kind of tying that to the universe of Mega Man X, that actually sounds like it could be a phenomenal way to add some depth and interest to that whole
setup. I see where you're coming from. But even just like part of it is like it really needs to be like a series, because unless you just completely abandon everything about the video game, the structure of there's a bad guy, you fight and defeat him, there's a bad guy, you fight and defeat him, that happens 8 times, like that just, you just can't, you it's can't do, and you, like, not just structure. Perfect, like, it's not just, oh, TV would be that much better, like, you can't, it's really hard to do that in a movie when you don't have a, like, full creative control to completely set up the scenario in such a way. Like, you got, like, Scott Pilgrim versus the World is set up in this way as a reference. But also, the movie is its own entire fictional setting. And so it can be you can construe all elements of the setting around selling that idea into a movie. Whereas, like, yes, it's the key point of Baggage is the fighting the 8 robot masters or the 8 bosses. But there's also, for it to be a Mega Man movie or a Mega Man X movie, you also have to carry along a bunch of other baggage that doesn't have anything to do with it. Like, for example, Mega Man X is fine for a video game, but for a movie, Zero is not in Mega Man X for most of it. Zero shows up in the first act and in the last act. And then, like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And you can't, like, not only do you have to figure out, okay, what do you do with the 8 bosses, but also, like, what do you do with Zero? You're going to have to start inserting him into places, and it doesn't really work with that because it's not set up. Because the point of comparison is supposed to be the before and after the collecting all of the stuff. And so it's not impossible, but it complicates it. And then you've got other things like, if you had a Mega Man X TV show, you could bring in the future stuff, like maybe make Colonel and Iris like characters that are more important at the beginning so that their influence on the plot in X4 has more impact, right?
Is there a possibility of doing it like Spider-Man Edge of Time, where you have the different timelines in the same thing and they interact, but they are separate. And
I think we're just keeping this in line with just Mega Man X itself as a.
Oh, so we're ignoring regular.
Well, no, I mean, this is where we could get to. Like, that's the thing. There's such a big, juicy nugget of content that could exist. Like, Mega Man Zero series also, I feel like, would lend itself very well to dramatic episodic storytelling.
I was just thinking, if we're doing one
Mega Man movie... And I'm just saying, right there is where you lost 90% of your audience.
We have to start with one Mega Man movie, and we're also starting with, like, the dark undertone part. We can have X and Mega Man in the same movie in the separate timelines, and they can, like, counter each other, and also could contrive an Edge of Time reason that the future and past are affecting each other.
How about we focus on one movie with one story before timelines into this?
Also, John, need I remind you, they're making a Knuckles TV show. If they're making a Knuckles TV show, if we could get a Mega Man X movie that had Zero in it, you don't think that everyone would be like, hey, I would love a Zero. Zero is very cool, and the only thing keeping him from being one of the coolest characters of all time is that the creators got scared when people thought he might be gay. And then they had to, like, desperately try to prove, no, Zero's not gay. He's not. Look at all these girlfriends he could have. And if they just worry about it and let Zero be bi, it could have just, you could have just had it.
Hell yeah.
And they just couldn't stand it. But like, if they had yep. managed, it would have been.
I feel like we're losing major focus on the whole idea of just one Mega Man movie, because we wouldn't have this Knuckles TV show that we're having now if the first Sonic movie didn't come out and make $1 billion because it was so streamlined and easy to understand and for made audiences to get into. So when you start talking about alternate timelines and a Zero show and whatnot, no one's going to know what that is because we haven't established what the first Mega Man movie show, will be.
John. Yeah, no.
Spider-Man across the Spider-Verse is you have a Spider-Man 2099 and they like vaguely gave his origin, but not in the same way as most of them did. He didn't get like a.
He didn't get a.
Yeah, exactly.
My name is Rock Light. And I'm a robot built by Dr. Thomas Light.
I think you could do.
It's the year 2000 XX, and I am future one.
This sounds like a rap. Mega song.
Man. Normal man.
Like that.
Yeah.
I wrote that. I did that on the Discord earlier.
It's so true.
Nice.
You're so correct.
Is he?
I'm sorry. I feel like you both lost my point.
I feel like you both lost my point entirely.
Why are you trying to.
My point is that no one's going to give a shit about this side stuff unless we have a good standalone Mega Man.
This is my point. This is why we need a good Mega Man movie so that we can have all this other good stuff that's just waiting in the wings.
Yeah, that was what Joe said at the very beginning, is we need to establish the classic series first so that people know what the heck is a Mega Man.
And I was just trying to work in the constraints that the director was.
You need to nail it, and you need to get at the core of it.
Well, that's the thing. We haven't established that.
That's what I'm saying. We need to do it.
Why haven't we? You just talked about side stuff. That's what I've been trying to get back to.
I'm saying the fact that there is all this side stuff that could exist if we just nailed the Mega Man movie, the classic one, should motivate us and everyone involved into making the best Mega Man movie or TV show. Like, if you could make the Mega Man movie work, go for it. But like, just make the original Mega Man thing that works really well, and then we get all this other stuff. Right, like
the problem is. This so
my question is this, Joe: how would you personally streamline the very first Mega Man movie for theaters, produced by 20th Century Fox, going out into theaters right now in 3D and IMAX?
So it has to be. What's the story? You're telling me it has to be a movie.
Bring Roll along.
Yes.
Because okay. Roll's definitely
the theatrical released.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so look, if I was to make a Mega Man anything, this is the character dynamic. That I
Sorry, was, no, first scene, screenplay,
that I would
go.
Set up. I'm not necessarily going to first scene screenplay it, but this is the dynamic that I would set up. Nobody steal this. Copyright 2020.
I think Sam is
copyright 2024, Joseph Martin. Game Kolick.
Oh, I didn't even get James with that one.
This is the dynamic.
Huh? I said I think Samus should be there.
Roll wants to be a superhero, but can't be. Mega Man doesn't want to be a superhero, but has to be. The plot reason behind this is Dr. Light made Rock based off of Proto Man, which wouldn't necessarily come up directly in this story as a reference to Proto Man. I don't know. That would maybe be a bit too much to juggle.
We could save that for a future
but
movie.
But the idea is that Proto Man was built for fighting. Mega Man was essentially made a copy of that with all the weapon stuff just sort of removed. Roll was a completely different model, basically a different take. That was fundamentally incompatible because the only reason Mega Man still had weapon compatibility was just for this ease of recreating a robot as fast as possible.
Important question. Would he be Rock or would he be Mega?
His name would be Rock because Roll does not make sense without it.
This is true.
I don't like
we
it.
We should definitely have their Japanese names be like their
yeah.
not like superhero kind of
right.
Names.
I mean, even
like, so Proto Man is called Blues.
Yeah, I mean, even in Mega Man 4, they call them Household Robots Rock and Roll, I think in Mega Man 3, they're also called Rock and Roll. I think in canonically, even in the English canon, because it's a slightly different canon, but it's mostly just things are named differently.
Monsteropolis.
Yeah, Monsteropolis.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, if we're talking Mega Man 4, then, and like, so we, if we're going with Mega Man doesn't really want to be a hero, that does, I guess, well, maybe the intro to Mega Man 4, kind of discussing about, you know, him undergoing that journey and that process of becoming, you know, being converted into Mega Man, maybe that could be some of the struggle.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do in the first act. Well, this is how it's, and again, I haven't formatted this for a movie. I feel like the first act would be roughly the same, which is there is an inciting incident. Wily comes in, steals robots. Rock is there and is basically powerless to stop him. Wily even taunts him, is like, I'm not even going to steal you because you're pathetic. You're not worth it. And then later,
and that hurts his feelings.
Rock does not want to fight, hates conflict, but he's like, I need to do something to make up for not being able to stop Wily in the first place. He gets into roles like, I'm along for the ride. This is like my dream. They go, they get the snot kicked out of them by Gutsman. Dr. Light's like, all right, look, I don't want you doing this, but I know I can't stop you. So I'm going to at least give one of you a gun. I can attach a gun.
Hands him a revolver.
I can attach a gun to one of your arms. So I'm going to at least do that.
And then he's like, oh, okay, well, a revolver, I think I have something better.
Then they go, they fight Gutsman again, they win. It's great.
Nice.
The hard part then is figuring out, like, that would be like a couple, like maybe one or two episodes of a TV show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's the second act that's tricky. The third act you could probably pretty easily piece together. Maybe Dr. Light gets kidnapped. I know he doesn't in the actual game, but it doesn't make him in 5, but not in this one. But I definitely don't want Roller to get kidnapped.
I think you can pad the second act a bit by having a montage or like a couple detailed like failed attempts, because they do it in the wrong order. They use Gutsman on the wrong other robot master.
He's trying to figure out.
The problem
out
is he just got to blast through them all.
Yeah,
I wonder,
no, that's my thing, because like every time I picture a Mega Man movie like action scene with like 8 robot bosses and whatnot, I'm just like, well, we have to do that in a montage?
And I don't like
it's just going to be like but I don't like the idea of fleshing out each fight that, unless it's like Scott Pilgrim or something, but you still need like strong main character and outside character dynamics.
Yeah, and there's just not enough else going on to justify.
Yeah, and not in classic Mega Man.
What you might do, if you wanted to make a movie, what you might do, I don't know how fans would feel about this, and I don't know how I feel about it.
Probably bad. Fewer about everything.
What if you just have fewer robot masters?
Well, the first Mega Man is the best opportunity for that because it's only got 6.
Yeah, so you take out.
But that doesn't matter because, like, adaptation wise, they can use whoever they want. They can use friggin' Gemini Man.
I mean,
in the first
you definitely so okay. You definitely cut. You definitely need Gutsman. I feel like you definitely need Cutman.
Fireman doesn't seem to be particularly important.
You don't need Bombman.
Galoshes.
Yeah.
Actually, here. Let's determine who the robot masters will be. Let's leave it to an even 4 for the first movie. But let's look at all the original robot masters and determine which ones would make the best toys for the first movie, because that's how they would determine.
So, he's got it.
Yeah, that's
he's
a good
got
point.
It figured out.
I don't know if I like his point, but it is a good one.
It is a good point.
So,
which ones have the best designs? That would be an amazing toy.
In that case, I feel like a Lekman might be out, because a Lekman's design, like his, especially his like sort of face and head setup, is not like, it's very weird. Like when they gave him a portrait, I think for like the Wily Wars or something, or like the Wily Wars or something, that like looks really unusual.
Well, yes, but also I feel like Iceman also is just not particularly engaging. It's just a guy in a snowsuit.
Yeah, no, that's true. Lame.
It is recognizable, though. It's instantly recognizable, though.
I think
Fireman would be good.
Not restricted
to the first Alec game. To the first game.
And Fire.
I would say they would do... They wouldn't even restrict themselves to the first game. They would use whoever they could find. They would probably pick... They would do Gutsman for sure, because that would be an amazing toy.
They would use Fireman because then they could use the song.
You gotta at least use Gut. Like, you have to use Guts and Cut. Like, I feel like those are the icon. Yeah. I mean, like, even just through Ruby Spears. Like, but, like, not just because Ruby Spears, but, like, Ruby Spears was tapping into something when they decided that Gutsman and Cutman were going to be in, like, every episode. Right? Like, they didn't invent that out of whole cloth.
I'd say they would also use Crash Man and Metal Man from Mega Man
7. Metal Man and Cutman just seems redundant, though. Like, I get from a toy perspective, but I feel like Quick Man.
Quick Man would be a good
Quick
a
Man,
good one
I, yeah.
Because he can launch boomerangs as an action figure.
That's also, but, like, he's also, like, you've picked the other Cutman.
Oh, shoot. That's a good. And I was like, oh, look, he can shoot like a projectile weapon. But then I realized, wait, that's what most of the robot masters do.
Maybe Airman. I'm also thinking about Fully Charged, right?
Airman would be a good one, too.
Fully Charged had a selection. I think they used.
Yeah, Airman would be an. Airman's an iconic design.
Yeah, I feel like Airman. Flash,
and it has cultural impact. What about Cheap
Man? Flashman would also make a good action set piece.
Oh, we should. What's the Flashman?
Flashman only because if you Splash need woman. A joke one that you get through quickly.
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's Bubble Man. That's Bubble Man. Easily.
No, I feel like Flashman's the better as, like, just.
I thought Cheap Man was.
But, like, you see where we're still getting into, like, like, and I almost wonder, like, is there, like, instead of, hey, there's all these different robot masters, like, maybe you have a group, some group of them.
Yeah.
And, like, they defeat Gutsman in, like, a one-off, but Gutsman's still around, like, he's not gone forever.
The robot masters of evil.
And then you still, like, you get that initial high, but then throughout the second act, you're still a challenge to, like, deal with the set of them. But it's not like you have these individual fights necessarily. Or maybe you kind of get to there near the end of the second act with...
But we then, also...
Oh, you're in the middle of, like, one fight, and Mega Man's about to win, but then they cheat, and, like, five more show up. And then that's, like, a turning point, and he has to retreat and figure out what to do. And then they make a battle plan, and they're like, you have to use this weapon on this person, and you have to do it in this order, and he almost does it, but then something goes wrong, and then Roll comes in and saves him.
Also, though, you need to have, in the climax, you have to have Copy Mega Man. That's the other, like, most iconic part.
That's a true. That's the first
Mega Man game. You have to have Copy Mega Man. Non-negotiable. There's some character arc you can have. Like, you can end any character arc fighting a duplicate of the main character. I think any character arc can end that way.
He, like, taunts him. He's like, I would have been able to defend the lab. I'm you, but better. Yeah. I fight and
I'm you, but evil, which is Mara. Also better.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, he could be the joke, like, robot that he kills. Because, like, as, like, Dark Mega Man or, like, Wily's, like, taunting him, like, building him up, he just, like, throws, like, Metal Man's, like, shuriken at his face, and he just flops dead. That's probably what it will
be. Well, we can't get too caught up in the whole, like, meta joke of Metal Blade is overpowered, though.
Yeah,
you can.
I feel like there's a moment, like, because the thing that Mega Man can do... Right? The thing that Mega Man can do is he can resist the temptation to fight. And if he resists the temptation to fight, the joke being that Copy Mega Man is actually based off of copying Mega Man. So if Mega Man doesn't fight him, all he can do is seethe about the fact. Like, that's do something. True.
And maybe he just, like, overloads because he's, like, so, like, badly wants to fight, but he can't because he's copying him.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Or, and then I think also like having, like, roll jumping, like, that's another thing that differentiates them is that he has roll and, like, not just, oh, he has a sister, but, like, he has maintained this relationship. And being a good person is having people who like you as a person.
Yeah.
And those are identical. I think we've solved everything.
Well, no, we've solved the first act and the third act, and
we've solved what no one else has ever solved before.
And we're still, the second act is still a nebulous mess of 3 to 8 robot masters.
But so
second
much
act is just all montages.
All right, we've talked about a lot. Let's pivot. What Sonic TV show, Knuckles the TV show, Sonic 3 movie.
Yes.
How are we feeling about this?
I haven't seen 2 or 3. Or, I mean, 3's not out. Sorry.
Well, you weren't wrong. You weren't wrong, Blue.
Yeah, I just didn't want you to make fun of me before I fixed it.
That's a good reflex to have on this podcast.
So I haven't seen the second one, but I do know that Knuckles was always like one of the more, he's got a lot more of the lore in the games to him. Mm-hmm. A lot of it pertains to him and his life, not in life, but like where he is, the side of the universe, basically, more so than Sonic, definitely.
What's funny is that, like, I feel like Knuckles himself doesn't actually have a lot of lore. Just, like,
the stuff surrounding
the fictional species of echidna that Knuckles is has a lot of lore. And then he stands by an emerald all the time.
Yeah.
But also, he is it's like Knuckles himself is boring as shit.
But like, no.
I'll say that.
No. Except maybe some of the comics, which do go real deep into everybody. So that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like game or movie or TV show has ever like explored.
Yeah.
And maybe Sonic 2 does, but like explored how Knuckles got to be the last echidna, and also why he knows that he needs to stand in front of Gemstone all day.
Didn't the BioWare RPG didn't that explain it? The Brotherhood Chronicles of Darkness.
I played that video game. I don't think they had like lore stuff. I don't think they actually explained anything about Knuckles specifically. Just like more, more of the other kind of lore. But also, Shadow the Hedgehog, the movie, which is what this is going to be, it makes me realize that, Into the Spider-Verse kind of identified something, what they call a canon event, which kind of doesn't make sense. Maybe it will when the second movie comes out, of like what that actually means.
I can't talk about comic books or I will never stop.
Right. Well, the concept of it in fiction, right, is like a moment
inevitable
that has to happen in some way or be referenced in some way in like every
Batman's parents dying is a good example.
Right. It's like something fundamental. But it really exists in the concept of, like, adaptation specifically.
Yeah, it's sort of the same as in, like, time travel movies, where they're like, why don't you go back and stop World War II? Well, that one's stuck there.
That's how it's treated as it's referenced, like, narratively, because it's, like, a real thing in the narrative of Spider-Verse. But in, like, remakes, like, it's not necessarily, like, a thing that, like, there's a sort of similar dramatic irony that you have, like, in a time travel story where, like, this is a thing that happens in all the adaptations, like, once you start leading up to it, you're like, oh, okay, now this is the part where we do this. But, like, it's not necessarily, like, considered, like, there's not, like, an avoiding fate vibe when it comes, like, trying to fight against fate because the characters, because it's dramatic irony, the characters don't have knowledge in the text of the story itself that this
in
is
Spider-Verse,
like,
Miles does.
Right, in Spider-Verse is an exception.
It's
given a good name to this concept, but usually it is not known by the characters in the adaptation. And like, you know, some it can be a plot thing or it can be like a setting thing. Like, you know, Optimus Prime is the leader of the Autobots and he fights Megatron. Starscream tries to betray Megatron. Like, that's kind of like a canon event. Like, you always have to have some story where he does that in Transformers.
A better term for this would be the status quo, if you will.
The big Unicron will come in like the 80s and it will not be referenced in any of the other movies that came later.
For all of its various adaptations, which there have been a lot for Sonic, there aren't really any canon events. Like, there's certain elements,
there's
like...
No,
well, if except, you look at the Sonic Bible,
there's no established
his
origin
father
story.
Dying is actually...
Right, but, like, that never... Like, it's, like, a Sonic
origin... I didn't even know about that.
It's not, it's not constant. There's very little except for, like... And even the stuff that is common is usually, like, backstory. Like, there's a common backstory of Sonic stopped... people from bullying Tails, and that's how they like originally became friends.
So Sonic says stuff, and that's canon.
But there is one exception to this, because there is one scene that has had three adaptations and will now have a fourth. Something that I don't think any other element of Sonic will have, and that is the government
dropping my hands.
Shooting a gun at a small child.
Oh no. Oh no.
And then she dies.
Me rubbing my hands with a big grin on my face. Let's kill a kid.
Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. It's in Shadow the Hedgehog, the video game. It's in Sonic X. And it's gonna be in this movie. I think I read that they have explicitly cast a Maria.
Yeah, and that
wait, let me double check on that real quick.
Another fun fact about
this. This is a canon event. This is perfect.
Another fun fact about this is part of the canon event in this doesn't appear in all of the adaptations, but it appears in two of them, which is in English, Maria's last words are "Sayonara, Shadow the Hedgehog."
Yeah, right.
In Japanese,
that's not slam.
In Japanese, Maria's final words are "Adios, Shadow the Hedgehog."
What are they in Spanish? I need to know.
Probably because it sounded cooler than just
that. That will be a liberty they will change for the better.
I want so much for Maria's final words in the Sonic 3 movie to be "Adios, Shadow the Hedgehog."
Adios, and it will be. They will put all of their effort into making it as sad as possible, but they will have that line, and it will be the best kind of dissonance.
It's going to be a very strange movie watching
experience. Being perfect,
I feel.
There will be YouTube video essays in 30 years about how it's the perfect scene.
The question is Shadow going to get a human companion that drives him around in a car?
Oh, no, he has to, doesn't he?
Yeah, not in the movie necessarily, but like at some point he's going to have like.
The question is that human companion going to be killed by the government?
Well, I don't think Maria can drive a car, James.
I.
Be realistic. Come on.
Maybe Shadow's favorite line.
I'm just going to say this as well. I haven't said this up to this point. I've not seen any of the Sonic the Hedgehog movies or know anything about any of this, but the one piece of Sonic, like non-video game Sonic media that I've seen is the Sonic X cartoon when I was little. And one of my favorite moments was from when they were chasing him down the street with Formula One police cars.
Oh yes, the first episode of Sonic X, which is absolutely the best one.
It's like, hey, you, this is dangerous. This is irresponsible. Yeah. What happens if kids start trying this? Sonic looks at the camera and says, kids, don't use Formula One race cars to chase hedgehogs.
And it is also perhaps the only piece of non-comic Sonic media where he unequivocally runs faster than the speed of sound.
That's true.
Because he runs very fast in a lot of things. But I feel like that's the only time that I can think of where they explicitly call out he's running faster than the speed of sound, or like he broke the sound barrier or something. They say it explicitly.
Minus the music.
But in the game, he only rolls around at the speed of sound. That's true. So it's actually not.
It is referenced, but like he doesn't actually. It's not like he. Sonic the Hedgehog is currently moving at the kilometers per hour speed required to break the sound barrier.
The movie gave him electricity powers, and I'm still confused, but...
It's like the Speed Force or whatever.
Which is interesting.
The question is, okay, so this is, like, the assumption, right, is that this is going to be a movie adaptation of the plot of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, right? Like, that's
the vibe. I can't wait for him to hang out with the president. Oh my goodness.
Does oh yes, this is another president. Important question. Does the president have a picture of Sonic the Hedgehog on his desk?
Yeah. Oh god.
They have to be friends.
But okay, is there a Sonic 4 movie? I don't
Chaos. Oh wait, no, that's
like you've got well so that's Sonic Adventure 1, which happens before, yeah. But like I don't think it's necessarily
Silver.
And you can
yeah, I think the only place logically they'll go, like marketing wise, will be Silver. They'll but, just keep
yeah,
adding
well,
a
if
new
they do Silver, then they could bring in Blaze as well.
Where they're just like screw it, we'll do the Genesis wave.
Well,
isn't that right?
Actually,
like, how do they explain Blaze again? I forget. Well, actually,
Blaze,
no, Blaze was from Sonic Rush.
Blaze is like two backstories. Yeah. Like, don't think too
we
hard.
We don't
about
talk
it.
About Blaze.
It's complicated.
Blaze had two backstories from two different video games that wanted to be the ones that introduced her. So what I think they might do, right, is
Silver's is just bad.
So for because we've got the Knuckles TV show and we've got Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, which is actually Sonic the Hedgehog 3. What I think they'll do is mostly Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, and then in the climax, right, they change the final boss battle of like the weird monster on Space Colony arc to like essentially be like Chaos in Sonic Adventure 1.
Mm.
And then in Knuckles, take a lot of like the plot elements from Sonic Adventure 1, but just like the right. Knuckles specific ones, and that will be like referenced more in Knuckles. I don't know exactly because like no because also though Knuckles is fighting people with like a magic gun that only works on Knuckles or something, so I don't know. That may just be nothing. But, like, that's what I would do, right? I would be like, okay, interesting narrative part of Sonic Adventure 1 was all the stuff about Knuckles stuff. So,
okay,
that's the only part.
He accidentally traveled to Earth. Maybe he can go to the past and become a knight.
This is the other consideration of Sonic the Hedgehog movie 4, which is that I don't know if we're getting Jim Carrey anymore. We weren't sure he was coming for this one.
Yeah, he said he was retiring unless the script was real good. And yep, Murray, yeah.
Well, I mean, if we move away from this universe, I mean, honestly, I don't know. I think you could make a good Sonic and the Black Knight movie adaptation.
A Sonic movie that actually takes place on Mobius, like for real.
Is it a Sonic movie if every single anthropomorphic animal character doesn't have a human companion that drives them around?
Yeah.
Yes, Shadow is going to be so cool that he doesn't need anyone to drive him around. He'll do it himself.
That is the thing that I think...
Shadow has a license.
If you can't
or
get...
Infinite will, if you get to Infinite.
There's... I think if you really wanted to have... It may be that they kind of, like, ended at 3 and then go, like, okay, the rest are just going to be TV shows. But if you really wanted to keep it, but Jim Carrey is like, look, you caught me, like, right when I was about to retire. I'll do this last one and help you out because I don't want to blindside you. But I'm out after this. I think what you do, right? Because, like, part of the thing was, like, in the first Sonic movie, Jim Carrey mostly just looked like Jim Carrey. And then in 2, they made him look more like Eggman. So in 3, just at the end of 3, at some point, you just complete the transformation and he turns into just a full CGI character who can have a different voice actor. And then you do what they did in Sonic X Season 3, which is you take the human characters and bring them to the Sonic world. And by human characters, I just mean Chris, because that's Chris, the only one they ever really cared about.
Chris. Oh, that'll be the fourth movie. They'll introduce Chris.
Oh, God.
No. And he almost dooms the universe because he doesn't want to go back to his life of luxury with parents and friends that care about him, because it would require him no longer being able to hang out with Sonic.
And also, there's a plant alien lady.
So the first episode was the best,
Cosmo.
Right?
Yes, the first episode of Sonic X was the best, because Chris is only in it at the very end.
Yeah.
And you can just not watch that part.
Was it Cosmos or Cosmo? I can't
Cosmo.
Remember. Cosmo, okay. Yeah, I don't remember a lot from that show, honestly.
The reason I remember this, I know this, is because I watched all the clips of the different Maria scenes and all the different adaptations, and then YouTube was like, ah, I see, you like Sonic, because I watched the Japanese and the English to compare, and they're like, ah, you like comparisons of Japanese Sonic X and English Sonic X.
Sure,
so do I have
those.
The set of videos to put all over your homepage? And I watched a couple of them, because most of them were season 3, which I guess is where they make the most changes, which is why a lot
of people
watch them.
To the meta, like, it, what was it, the meta X, is that?
They have a much more serious, like, non-4Kids-appropriate name in Japanese. I forget what it is.
The Slaughter Murderers.
Yeah, I think it's like Killers or something.
Wow.
It's not, like, I think
it
Killers
so
is
close.
Or something like that.
Mr. Brightside.
All right. It's time. We've had fun here. You know what else is fun? Video games we've been playing in recent times.
Sometimes.
Unless it's Jetty, in which case those aren't very fun.
They actively hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm going to start this time. Mix it up. I played Donkey Kong Country with Jetty.
That's true. I can verify it. He's not lying this time.
The live stream I wanted to be on, but realized I had couldn't be on it in time.
It was it's such an interesting approach to multiplayer that I feel like doesn't really exist in any other game series. Like, I guess, like, Donkey Kong Country Returns has it, but not really, right? Like, that's like...
How does it work? For the uninitiated?
In the SNES Donkey Kong Country, basically, you have two hit points, but those two hit points are
you
Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong. So if you're playing as if you're playing by yourself, if you play as Donkey Kong and you get hit, you switch to Diddy Kong and you have to get like a barrel that you throw that, like, it, practically speaking, it gives you your hit point back, but it gives you Donkey Kong. And then you can also press a button to switch between them because they're slightly different. In the other Donkey Kong Country games, the differences between the two characters are more distinct. Like in the second one, it's Diddy and Dixie Kong. And Dixie has, like, propeller hair. And I think they exaggerated Diddy's, like, speed over Donkey Kong a little bit or something like that. Mm. But when you're playing two players, it's just you switch. So, like, if one person gets hit, then the other person starts playing.
Oh.
And there's a brief, like, pause where it'll, like, you have to wait to press a button before it'll, like, when it switches from getting hit. And you can also switch on the fly. And that's an interesting way of handling multiplayer, like this trade-off back and forth that I don't really think was done very much in other contexts. Yeah. Everything else was either simultaneous multiplayer or
I will say it's a great system to play when you're playing with two players. And by two players, I mean you and your little sibling who's not good at video games.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. But it's also, it still worked even, like, roughly even experience with Donkey Kong Country. I think I have a little bit more than Jetty, at least on those first levels. Then we got stuck on the minecart level that everybody gets stuck on. That minecart level has ended so many Donkey Kong Country Let's Plays.
Is it the one in World 2?
I don't know if it's the first one that you encounter.
Okay, because that one, there's a reason that they put the skip, that they put, I think, one of the first warp barrels. Well, actually, not one of the first. They use it in other places, but they you can skip that level right at the beginning.
You can only skip if you've been to the other barrel, it said.
No, that's not how that works. So there is, right at the entrance to that, you kind of walk in, and there you're just standing on solid ground, and you have to jump. You have to jump and then jump into the minecart. But if you jump over in a specific arc, you can then hug sort of the cliff that you emerge upon, and there's a warp barrel off at the bottom of the screen where it looks like you would fall and die. And that will warp you all the way to the end of the stage.
James, please make a tutorial video and post it on the channel.
This is one of those things that, like, game designers hadn't figured out about, like, positive and negative feedback loops, because this is one of those things that's like, the people who would know about this skip are the people who have beaten the minecart level already and played enough Donkey Kong.
No, actually, I found it because I was really frustrated and wanted to just jump over the edge at the start and, like, kill my player, and I ended up landing, and then you just land in a warp barrel, and I went, what?
Never mind, it's the best design ever in a game.
That is pretty ingenious.
Anyway, intuitive. I thought that was interesting. They knew you would do that. And that is my piece for games I've been playing in recent times. John, what video games have you been playing in recent times?
Oh, you don't want to ask me.
All right, okay. Moving on.
No. I'm kidding. A game I've gotten in the mail from Gamefly and have beaten in a matter of a week is the one, the only, Family Game Game of the Year winner at the Game Awards, Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Hey, nice.
And it is delightful.
Paul hated it.
Well, Paul's old. No,
he's not part of this podcast anymore.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this. I thought it was super fun. It was very delightful, very breezy, very. It was just fun. Every level was like introducing a new mechanic or an addition to an existing mechanic they had. You could make the argument that some of them like they breeze over and you kind of like maybe forget them. Every now and then be like, oh yeah, that's in this game. Oh yeah, and that's in this game. Or there's like a badge or power-up that's like easily the most useful and you just end up using that throughout your entire playthrough. But I mean, for a Mario game, aka for a kid's game, if I was a kid, I would be so in love with this game. It has so many beautiful designs, ideas, so many cool little aspects, and a really good learning curve for kids. And it's just a spectacular, like, little well-crafted experience, which, honestly, you don't see a lot of these days. Yeah, very well thought out. I've also been playing a lot of original Star Wars Battlefront 2, because the remaster's coming out in a few weeks with the collection, and... yeah, the original online community is still strong. I was chatting with people, all being like, hey, you're going to get the remasters? Like, oh yeah, I'm going to get it on Switch. I'm going to get it on PS5, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, everyone seems so excited. And there was like a lot of newcomers too that nice. On those servers. And we're just like, oh yeah, you got to play this. We're like teaching them like the strategies of like playing as some heroes, some exploits, some glitches they can show off to people and so on and so forth. It was a very cool experience. And then, of course, there was that one person you who would join the servers and say something obscene, and then we would all stop in our tracks, look at him, and just stare at him, and watch his character model just disappear in real time as he's booted from the server immediately. But
online gaming.
Yep. Good times. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Other than that, I also been playing a little bit of the Mario vs. Donkey Kong remake because I love the original on Game Boy Advance. So I was like, yeah, I'll pick this up. Why not? I love this game. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Who's next?
Blue, video games.
Hello, I have been playing Mega Man X. I kept putting it down for months because I did one stage, I beat Chill Penguin after a bunch of attempts, and I couldn't beat anyone else, and then I came back and I was like, wow, the control scheme really sucks. I wonder if I can fix that. Turns out you can, and now, suddenly, I am decent at Mega Man games, and I got all the way to the final boss. And I beat the first two stages of the final boss, but not the last one.
The first two phases?
Yeah.
You know about the trick, right?
No.
Well, like, the trick before you fight the boss.
Get the charge upgrade?
Well, no, like, in the little area before you fight the final boss. Like, in the level.
You can stock up on energy.
Yes, okay. Good.
Okay, yeah.
When you die,
I do wonder, like, I feel like everybody figures this out, which is, like, really good game design, right? Like,
yeah.
The fact that you can pretty easily piece together, hey, you can farm sub-tanks before the final boss.
That also reminds me of another thing in a game I've been playing recently, but please continue before I divulge.
So I did that, and I also finished Robotics Notes Elite. It was a lot of fun. I really liked the climax. It had a great moment that endeared me to one of the characters that I hadn't been too big on before, but she won me over with that, and it was great. So I finished that, and I will be starting Chaos Child. And I think that's what I've been playing.
James?
Yes?
I'm trusting you to be responsible with the time allotted to you. Please talk a reasonable amount. Reasonable being less than 2.5 pages of bullet points of Persona 3 Reload.
All right. Well,
Reloaded.
Reload.
Okay.
Broad statements, so, like how I describe Mario.
Yeah. The only trouble is, Joe, that my page of notes is unfortunately covering the timer, so I can't see.
James, don't do this to me.
Or me.
Okay, I will do my best to keep it brief because I have a written review in the works that will talk about this in my full usual rambly. I don't expect it to be anywhere close to as long as Xenoblade Chronicles 2 review, but then again, I don't know if I will ever be able to do anything quite that long. Anyway, Persona 3 Reload. It is a complete ground-up remake of Persona 3, a game made by Atlus for the PlayStation 2, 2006-2007. It's really just so incredibly amazing. I'm about 5/6 of the way through the game, and just in the last recent playthrough session that I did over the last previous 2 or 3 days, has the game really kind of hit home. The Persona 3 has this very specific vibe that is extremely hard to explain properly, because even if you've played the other Persona games, they each have their own unique style, their own unique themes, their own unique setting. They're all so unique, but there is something, to me at least, about Persona 3 that's got this very... It almost makes you feel a little bit anxious, a little bit melancholy, even during happy or goofy or just normal everyday moments. And maybe that's just past knowledge from having played the game before, but that I'm really glad to see was retained. There's just this weird, surreal, ethereal vibe that you get from it. And part of that is the visual design, part of that is the music, which has been all remastered and remixed, and it's all amazing. But more than anything, I'm so glad because they have really improved the gameplay, which is one area that Persona 3 desperately needed improvements in, because all of the Persona games, at least 3, 4, and 5, have had enhanced re-releases. But the problem is, Persona 3's enhanced re-release was on the same system, or the PlayStation Portable, which was not so much an enhanced remake, it was a slightly altered remake with some new features and also taking a step backward from a technical perspective, but I digress. But they've removed the combat a lot, and or they've removed the combat. No, they've improved.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, that's one way to fix it.
Yeah, no, that would not improve it.
So look, our video game was bad, so we just took out most of it.
Yeah, they improve. How do they make Persona 3 better? They got rid of it. They have improved the combat significantly, and they brought over a couple aspects from Persona 5, but also kind of nerfed the aspects that were definitely a little bit broken or overpowered, and just overall made the game feel so much easier to play, so much smoother. They added so many quality of life improvements, but they've also added some new content, so that despite the fact that, and this is kind of a key point for me, is that this game, not to spoil too much, but a big theme about the game in particular is making the most of your time, making the most of every day, sort of carpe diem, this idea of seizing the day and making the most of it. And one of the challenges in Persona 3 is that this was still a challenge in other Persona games, but in this game in particular, there's so many people you can spend time with. There's so many different things you can do, and it's impossible to predict what the coming days will hold, you know, on your first time at least. And so it's very difficult. You feel very torn with all of these decisions to make about how to spend your time each day. And despite the fact that they have added all of this quality of life, which helps make it easier to do the things you want to do and to feel like you're being productive, at the same time, they've added so much more additional content and cool new stuff to do and see that I feel like it almost makes it even harder. You're now even more, not so much paralyzed, but sort of hung up on, oh gosh, am I making good use of my time? You know, oh, I really want to go and do this thing, but this other character is also available to hang out with. And, oh, it's...
That's what I'm missing from my video games, is intense anxiety. Fear of missing out.
Yes, yet that is thematically appropriate for Persona 3, in a sense, more than any other Persona game in the series.
Ironically, and that's how I can't feel when I play get a into Final why,
but it's like really, really phenomenal. And I'm just, there is so much changed and improved and revamped and reimagined. And yet at the same time, the experience is absolutely
reloaded,
still holding on to that core Persona 3 essence. And that's just, oh my gosh, I'm in love with it. It's to the point that I've been playing it so much that I've ended up getting burned out on it several times at this point, and having to go and like do other things, play other games, and just spend my time in other ways, because I've just been so fixated on playing this game because I'm enjoying it so much. And all that right. is all I have to say here. If you want to hear me ramble on about it more, I will at some point in the future have a review.
Pokemon Zed exists. We didn't. I forgot.
Oh.
I forgot that was technically announced.
Which means Pokemon Gun is not far away.
Blue, what? How could you say this to me?
Because.
Pokemon. What?
Pokemon Gun? We had Sword and Shield, and there was a James, meme James, that there not, was Pokemon
picking up,
Gun.
You're not picking up. Blue, say the name of the video game again.
Correct. No.
Yeah, wait, there's a whole nother issue going on here.
I did not stutter.
As three Americans talking to a Canadian.
I'm correct, and nothing you say will change that.
Oh, yeah. So T-U-V-W-X-Y-Z.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not T-U-V-E-D, Blue. It's T-U-V-W-X-Y-Z.
I'm sorry, I'm not a sheeple who wants all my letters to start to sound like E. B, C, D, E,
I do. If you have an entire song where the meter implies the rhyming letters, yes.
Then what happened to K?
Do Canadians even have an alphabet song? Are you guys even fun?
Baba, black sheep, have you any wool?
I'm sorry,
yes, sir,
to
yes, sir.
Less
three
less
bags
fun
have a lot of wool.
Me that I'm not fun.
You're trying to make things less fun by making the alphabet song not rhyme.
I am making it fun by adding twinkle, a little bit twinkle, of personality little star, to it.
How I wonder where you're at. It's not even the correct name of the game, Blue. It's Z or Z dash A.
But that's not the part that matters. It's what I'm saying.
So it's because Pokemon.
But it is the part that raised the most questions.
Anyways, this meme game from 10 years ago is real now, so Pokemon Gun will happen.
So it is funny because we thought that the Pokemon Legends series was for like alternate takes on the region that was due for a remake, when actually it's a set of video games designed to give screen time to cool Pokemon that didn't appear in the video games that they debuted in.
That seems correct. Also, it might be in the future.
AKA a side series for Lost Potential.
I think it is in the future.
It seems fascinating.
It's definitely a choice. Like,
I'm excited.
And I'm not saying it's definitely going to be bad that it all takes place in one big futuristic city.
Tron.
It feels like that. I don't know. It does feel a little limiting. Like you're gonna have to.
That city is very big. Like even when it was mostly closed off, people got lost.
A lot of stuff to do. I just mean like going to be the justification, right? Like part of what was cool about Legends was like all these Pokemon in their natural habitat. And
well,
like
in the future, when we ruin the planet, the city will be their habitat.
Are we gonna? This is actually something I just thought of. Like, are we going to get like references to the Paradox future Pokemon? Like,
I assume so.
Are all the Pokemon going to be robots, but somehow not steel type?
What are you talking about? Well, it is a different timeline because Mega Evolution exists. So I'm not sure how that factors in.
I don't know what we're making reference to here, and it sounds very important.
Pokemon Legends.
James,
Pokemon
you are now in my position.
A. You can go. You can go find it.
Its name, the name of the video game, James, is Pokemon Legends Z-A or right. Z through A. I don't know how you say it.
It does.
I just know that it's spelled.
It's Pokemon Zaw.
Pokemon Pizza.
Pokemon Pizza. All right.
Let's go.
It's Pizza Chew.
Yeah,
that'll be the first official Pokemon game I'll actually play.
This has to be the most Kingdom Hearts named Pokemon video game that exists, right?
No, we need to change the lowercase a if I'm looking at this logo, if that's the real thing and not just something someone made up. It's like a big Z and then a small A. Is that right?
If we want to make it more Kingdom Hearts, we could say that it's not an A,
but it's an alpha.
The A is definitely uppercase, James. I don't know what you're looking at.
I don't know what I'm looking at either.
Hang on. I'll put it in the chat.
I'm like trying to scroll through another Discord that I'm in where someone brought it up.
I'm actually not seeing it right now.
The A. Okay, so first of all, this logo is the name.
Oh
strange,
yeah, that's not at all what I was looking at. Somebody was just posting nonsense.
Because there's like the letter Z, which is a Pikachu tail, but with the Zygarde like, scale texture.
And it's
so that's
Z
already
minus
weird.
A or something.
They definitely did everything to defy expectations.
Or maybe
first
it's
all,
like
a
non-curly omega.
The A is an upside-down V. There's no dash in between the A, except the fact that the Z goes through it, I guess.
Yeah,
and
the Z
is dash
seriously invading the personal space.
Is like half on the A and half past the right side of the A, which to me makes it seem like it comes after the A, right? It looks like it's Pokemon Z gamma dash.
Yeah. Or like,
what happened here? What happened with the name?
So it's Pokemon.
Local,
so I was right. It's Pokemon
a logo
Zaw.
Artist was drunk.
It's Pokemon Zaw.
Yeah. It's Pokemon Zaw. Pokemon slam some Zaw.
I feel like someone was going to write Pokemon Zap and then got drunk and forgot.
Yeah. No, that's what the dash is for, is them trailing off. Pokemon Zap.
What's also interesting is that there's not going to be a new mainline Pokemon game this year.
Good. Maybe they can have some time to make the next one good.
It is good. I also, like, the first thing I saw after the Pokemon Direct or whatever, the Pokemon Day showcase, the first tweet I saw was, "That's it?" And I'm like, did we not just have an entire year of discourse about how the Pokemon games are rushed? And then the moment they're like, it's going to be at least 9 months until you get a new Pokemon game, they're like, excuse me?
Yeah. In fairness, we knew this was going to happen. We could see that coming from a mile away.
It's very funny. I would be fairly confident it's probably going to be a March release, just because Pokemon games always seem to come out in either March, like mainline Pokemon games, which these are technically.
And also that's when the Switch 2 is coming in.
I don't know. That's a good question. Is it going to be a Switch 2 game?
Yes. Because you told me that March 2025 was the likeliest date.
Yeah,
there's an article here that from Kotaku that says Pokemon Legends Z minus A or C dash A or Z through A seems to confirm those Switch 2 rumors. So
How does it confirm them?
I don't know. James, I'm just reading a headline, James. Don't come at me.
I'm not expressing my consternation at you. I'm expressing it just broadly.
Remembering Hunter Hunter, which is written Hunter X Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter X Hunter.
It's probably just Pokemon ZA. That's probably how they're going to say it.
Z upside down V.
Z through A. Invisible.
Which I think they're just going to ignore the dash.
You could also read it if you look at the tail of the Z sticking through. It looks kind of like an equal sign. Z equals A.
Mm.
No, not
really. No. Right. For this episode.
Yeah. We've made it all the way from A to Z.
One quick thing. The thing I was alluding to earlier was I was also playing the Tomb Raider remasters, and the thing I was talking about where people just knew what to do was lock the butler in the freezer in the tutorial of Tomb Raider 2. That's it.
No, it's
awesome.
What? That's murder.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Game Cola Podcast. If you like what you heard, please check us out on our actual internet website, gamecola.net, where you can find reviews like the Xenoblade review, Xenoblade 2 review that James made, or other articles and postings about podcasts. If you also like podcasts, you can check us out on iTunes or Spotify. We've got podcasts like the Game Cola Podcast or Hacks and Slash or the RPG Cast, Space Quest RPG Cast. You got the first two episodes, third one coming out soon. And then maybe a little more RPG Cast stuff in the pipeline. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And then YouTube. Did I say YouTube? We have a YouTube. Today's call to action.
GC.net.
Is to subscribe to GC.net today. We just hit 4,000 subscribers. Now, thank you. Thank you, everyone who subscribed. If you haven't subscribed, please do. We can hit 5,000 subscribers in less than a decade.
Less than 10 years.
Which is how long it took us to get from here from 3,000. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful time of day, wherever it is, whenever it is you are listening to this podcast. And we will see you next month. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Cool.
Cool, like going from Z to A.
Yeah, no, from he's referring to Z.
I see.
James, you said
that's not at all how that works.
a bed said dead.
No, that's if we're following the rules of your dumb alphabet. I fixed it by changing something.
H.
Yeah,
176.
Does that mean that Jetty's name is just J? It's Jed?
No, it would be G.
Yeah, G. Oh,
Alex G. Drzak.
Alex G. Drzak.
Jeditor in chief. No, sorry, Jeditor in
editor.
Jeditor in Chedf.
Jed.
Not at all. Anyway, I'm gonna go.